At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're all charismatics. You're all charismatics. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're all charismatics.
Thanks for tuning in to the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and Ayla. We have a fun-filled episode for you, I think.
Yeah.
Aaron has notes. I don't actually know doing this week. So, Aaron, we're talking about this week.
Well done. Well done. That's a great setup. I do have something. So, okay. So, I have this really, like, interesting thing that I want to, like, first, I want to talk about the Barbie movie. And then I have something else that I want to connect to it, like probably oddly, but I'm sure it will organically happen.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So you just saw the Barbie movie for the first time, correct?
I did. I just saw it last night.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, okay. So, you know, it's always hard when you notice like something that like, so I'll get the, like, capitalismo bullshit out of the way first. So, obviously, it's, like, a film produced by the toy maker company Mattel. Okay? And, like, you know, and I got to give Greta, the director or whatever, like, props at, like, handling a very weird middle space of, like, you know, at one point, like, there's this, like, critique of corporations that is said and, like, all these conspiracy theories. And, like, you know, it all rings very true. A lot of great stuff is said in it. But, like, you can't help also thinking here's a movie that, like, grossed, like, $1 billion. And, like, it's still, like, making the company, a major corporation, money. And so, like, you know, it's hard because you're like, oh, there's some really great messaging in this and some really real stuff. But at the same time, you're like, well, it's like when they say like, you know, these companies co-opt movements, right? Like Nike, I think at one point all of a sudden changed, you know, after years of, you know, protesting against them and sweatshops or whatever, you start seeing, like, you know, the Nike revolution, you know, like, and things like this, like, you know, trying to own this people-centered populist, like, message about these kind of things while also, you know, being a company that's making tons of money off of it. So,
for the record, Mattel, while this was the first movie under the Mattel, under Mattel Films, quote unquote, this is actually owned by Warner Bros.
Right.
And Mattel didn't have a ton to do with the actual movie.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're making 5% off of it. Like all of the money that the movie made, they make 5% of.
Okay. Okay.
Apparently they saw the script and were okay with the script, but they didn't have anything to do with the script.
Okay.
So that was all Greta. Like, that was all her. And while I do understand that, duh, they're making money off of it, and they make subsequent money off of the actual, you know, the actual brand itself. People, I'm sure, went off and bought what they wanted to buy in. There was an uptick in for that. Mattel actually was pretty hands-off for the movie itself.
Okay.
So it is worth noting that it isn't owned by Mattel and it wasn't funded by Mattel either.
Okay. That's at least, I guess, an interesting detail to know. So, you know, okay, fair enough. So, like, looking, right, so there's this interesting, what is the line? It was something like, because Barbie can do it, women can do it, and because women can do it, Barbie can do it, or something like that. There was some kind of like play on words like that. And it's like, okay, so you have you know, kind of a product that over the years has, you know, definitely been criticized, you know, for, you know, unrealistic body types and, you know, kind of the notion of the, you know, and even the main character is playing what? Stereotypical Barbie, right? The blonde with mm-hmm. like perfect dimensions, you know, unrealistically kind of beautiful. And I will say Helen Mirren doing the narrator and like kind of like putting in a comment. I think there's a scene where like Barbie's going through some like self-realization kind of epiphany thing. And like, you know, Helen Mirren is like, well, you know, girl, like you need to look, like the narrator stops and has a little aside and then, you know, saying like, but you know, if you think it's bad looking like how you look, you should like, you know, kind of imagine what it is right. for everybody else.
I did like how like heavy handed the message was. Some people didn't like that. I personally was perfect because it was, there's a disconnect with certain waves of where people have this assumption in order to be a feminist, have to be on, you know, the end of the spectrum that is out in the streets fighting for rights and, you know, you're questioning and da 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 da. And that's a valid form of feminism. However, there is this whole middle space where women who are in support of other women and are trying, you know, do their best and, you know, get through the patriarchy, if you will, don't really understand what it is that they are enduring as a woman that are dealing with literal society. For example, they said that there was a huge percentage of women that broke up with their significant other after seeing the Barbie movie, put a lot into perspective that they didn't have the words for before, or they didn't have the understanding of before. It's just initial expectations of women are expected to do this and be this and provide this, and men are just kind of sort of, you know, men are sort of just expectant, you know, and this is just the way it is. And I think it did shed a lot of light. I didn't really understand, you know, that piece of feminism to that degree, and they made it so heavy-handed and so on the nose that I fucking loved it. Mm. I loved it because you cannot walk away from that movie being confused. It is 100% exactly what it is at face value, and it's a man's world. And that it was just a beautiful takeaway that I think, like I said, I feel like most of the men I spoke to that had watched it were like, it made me uncomfortable. Exactly. That's exactly what it should have done. Mm. Comfortable living in a world where women are second-class citizens and men are expected to be, or I say expected to, but men are just in a constant state of, this could be better, you could be better, things could be better. Why aren't you like this woman? Why, you know, this is my dream girl. And like, you know, in the same breath, they're offering nothing to help women get to those different places, being able to achieve dream girldom.
Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, so there was a great critique. I mean, and this is what I'm saying. Like the conflict of it is, okay, there's a great critique going on here. And I think, you know, you saw that a little bit, you know, with her going out to the real world. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, I expect, like, women are going to thank you for being like a trailblazer and allowing them to like have, you know, this world where women can be anything, only to discover that that's not, you know, the world in the real world.
Right.
And I do think that there's like almost been, you know, this kind of, I think maybe the makers of Barbie think, hey, you know, we have created this possibility of like, look, if we let Barbie be a doctor, so, you know, we've done our part. It doesn't work from, like, putting, you know, and no, from the beginning of the movie, when it goes from, like, you know, the majority of dolls up to whatever point, and, you know, I haven't, like, fact-checked any of this. I did fact-check a couple things while I was looking in the thing, like, pregnant Barbie, the Midge Barbie was a real Barbie with like a family kit or something ridiculous like that.
Oh no, all of those Barbies were real Barbies that right. they mentioned.
And they're yep. skirting the line. Yeah, it's great that like, you know, a doll was given to like girls that like wasn't just a baby and didn't only like capture their imagination in terms of being like a mother and a wife, right? And I think, okay, good, you know, and I'm looking at it and, you know, also thinking, well, but this has always been a product marketed at women and, like, you know, marketed at little girls. And, like, you know, sir, we know a bunch of you boys played with those Barbies. I was one of them. You know, I had, like, He-Man and Barbie World were always, like, two, like separate little retreats that I would make in the bedroom. You know, I would put down a bunch of hand towels to make it, like, lawns, and then, like, set up my He-Man castle and, like, my stepsister's, like, Barbie dream house, because she definitely had one. And, like, I think she had a boat, too. She probably had a car. She had, like something like 60 fucking Barbies. It was, like, insane. And I had, like, seven He-Man figures. So, you know, it was...
I had the stretch Corvette.
Ooh.
That was... I didn't have the house or any of that, but I had the stretch Corvette. That's what I got, the red stretch Corvette. I was a huge Barbie girl. That was a thing for me, for sure. And I would be playing them alongside of my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So I had my God.
So you had your He-Man, and I had my TNT and Barbie.
Exactly. You know, and you think about these things, and, I remember being young and thinking, you know, what a, like, limited capacity for, imagination to have, like, you know, cars, you know, like, because we were always being bought, like, Hot Wheels and little trucks and, like, all the typical. I wasn't allowed to play with any, like, fake guns or anything in the household, so there was nothing like that, you know, in that sense, which is probably good. But, you know, I remember just thinking, like, there's no accessories to Hot Wheels. Like, if you're fortunate enough to get, like, and I've had the same complaint about being, you know, a quote-unquote boy in general, like, that, like, accessorizing is not, like, part of, like, the social construct for us, for the most part, you know. And obviously I think it's gotten better in recent years as your Harry, what's that fucker's name?
Styles.
Your Harry Styles and whatnot.
Like, is, Harry.
And even, like, your Bunny point, like, are, like, breaking kind of old-fashioned trends and expectations for, like, what men are allowed to wear and yada, yada, yada. But my point being, like, you know, when you think about a product that is so wrapped up in, like, kind of the social norms of the day, you know, maybe it was appropriate to have, like, a Midge doll, whatever year that fucking came out, which is, I saw on the internet, it's, like, worth, like, $315. So these things have become, like, you know, obviously, like, collector's items as well. And I know Barbie is, like, such a legacy, like, brand, right? But Mattel makes a lot of different shit, you know? So, but anyways, I digress. So I'm trying to watch this and, like, you know, make a fair critique. You know, one, it's still very much engendered around, like, an engendered doll. And, like, I get that, like, it did play a pivotal role. It could have used a little nod to all the gay boys that play with Barbies as well.
I noticed that there wasn't, right?
There was, like, not there wasn't really any queerness in the film. So okay, that did kind of surprise me, I have to say, you know, and I don't know if that is some sort of brand protection parameter, but, like, you know, it would have been cuter to see, because when I think of how often that conversation happens with, like, little queer boys and, like, their straight girlfriends or whatever, their fruit flies, as you taught me the new terminology, in terms of, like, oh my God, I used to play with Barbie, me too. You know, it's, like, the first, like, for many, not all, like, queer boys, their first, like, breaking of, like, the gender norm from, like, you know, the reality of, you know, feeling different and feeling like they want to do something different.
I feel like there's a possible answer to that, and I don't know, because I didn't watch or read a ton of the interviews with Greta, but I feel like maybe she just was not wanting to speak on behalf of a group that she wasn't representing. Like, she was a woman representing women, and so maybe he was like, I touch that because it's not my place to touch it. But you're right, I do think that is, but then again, you know, maybe she was afraid of saying, well, you know, if you play with Barbies as a boy, you're a gay boy, right? You know, like, there could have been an easy connection to, you know, that are ignorant, where they said, oh, well, the gay boys are playing with Barbie. If you're a boy and you play with Barbies, you're gay, you know. Maybe she didn't want to
For sure.
I mean, Kate McKinnon went it. That's as queer as you can possibly get, right?
Oh, my God. And I love that she played a weird Barbie, because, like, definitely remember, like, chopping off the hair and using a marker and making, like, Barbie very punk rock. Not weird, but, like, punk Barbie. Where the hell was punk Barbie? We didn't get these Barbies, like, in time enough to demand, like, right? So, like, on some sense, I guess I do feel like the fallacy and, like, the narrative a little bit is Barbie changed because people changed. People didn't change because of Barbie. Like, you know, and, like, they made that line very fuzzy, you know? And I think it was there in the end, right? Because what happens essentially is stereotypical Barbie wants to be different. She wants to want different things. She wants to, like, have a life, right? And, right. You know, I think, you know, America Ferrera did, like, a really good job at, like, kind of, like, talking about, and I thought it was actually a really sweet narrative of her connection to the Barbies with her daughter and playing, like, you know, like, I thought there were a lot of very sweet connections that were made that were, like, for kind of, like, more emotional, like, connected to childhood. Like, I think it did a really good job about, like, that philosophical question of, like, you know, life and imagination and all these things and wanting to do what you want. I think it skirted a very fine line. I thought representation was cool, but, you know, somewhere in that narrative, too, like, should have been, like, a critique about, like, you know, the Barbies of different races and ethnicities, not necessarily, like, you know, like, if there's trouble for women, there's trouble for, you know, even more trouble. Like, the critique, they did representation without talking about race or ethnicity at all. And, like, if you're critiquing True. Something such as huge as sexism, like, avoiding the other things ended up seeming a little, like, too obvious, you know. Even with, like, you know, just the, you know, Helen, like, aside there about, like, oh, you know, but Barbie, you're beautiful. Like, it would have been interesting to, like, kind of get into that a little bit more, I guess, or whatever. But, you know, it was, I really liked all the connection. What was the line? Like, horses. He starts using all the horses because he sees them as, like, it's clearly an extension of manhood, all these horses. And, like, just kind of, like, the dumb men stuff that they picked was, like, a little bit, you know, like, being really into the kind of, like, old school male stuff on some level. So
yeah. I did think it was cool that there are Barbies that existed before the job existed for women. Sure. So when you say, like, you know, we didn't change because of Barbie, it could be argued a little bit that maybe it was a foreshadowing, or it was just like a, well, duh, the trajectory is that women will eventually do this job. But, like, astronaut Barbie happened before we even had astronauts, like, on the moon, you know. Sorry. So there is a little bit of a discussion of, you know, Mattel or Barbie itself saw women as more than they were before women had those opportunities to be more than they could be. If you
sure I see what you're yeah I mean,
it's not a perfect science, obviously, but I think that it is at least a nod to potential and the potential of women and the potential of, you know, dreaming big for little girls and things like that. I do think it's sweet in that way, you know.
So, like, what did you have? You had a few Barbies. Is there any of them that stuck out more than any others?
I remember when I was really young, I just remember, like, having a lot of, like, fashion Barbies and, like, you know, I can't remember the exact Barbies I have, but whenever I see them, I'm like, I had that Barbie. I had the Beauty and the Beast and Beast. Loved that set.
Nice.
As I got older, I had, like, the soccer Barbie. I also had ice skating Barbie because I wanted to be a figure skater when I was little.
Aww.
I had all these different Barbies that kind of coincided with what I was into. Hand-me-down Barbies from my Barbie on my table. My sister's in the background, like, rolling her eyes at me, you know. And I think for me, Barbie was a way for me to kind of have my own little thing, because they all had different voices, they all acted differently, and so it was my way to, like, set up these little scenes and scenarios. I also really liked Polly Pocket.
Okay.
But it was a similar thing, right? Like, all these little dolls are going to different and doing different things and have different little personalities that I can kind of act out. And, you know, as you know, theater ended up becoming, like, a big, huge piece of my life. Yeah. And so I think it was like a little way to like express myself through that. You know, I really liked doing voices. I really liked acting. And so those were sort of the vehicle in which I would do it with. And then, you know, when I became like prepubescent, like I had my Barbie, like, fuck Ken. Not that I know it was. Like, sure. They were just laid naked together in the back of the Corvette, you know, things like that. So, you know, there was, I feel like Barbie kind of with you over time, you change and the Barbies and what you do with them.
Barbie didn't have any nipples, did she?
No. Oh my, like, God. I do remember though that one time I did the thing where I like drew with, I thought with washable marker on, you know how Barbie's like body was plastic, but her face was like rubber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I asked my sister, I'm like, fuck, I ruined my Barbie. I couldn't get it off with like water. And I was like, what can I use to get this off? And she was like, oh, nail polish remover. Uh-huh. Well, nail polish remover took off the marker to put on her. And it also took off the painted on eyes.
Oh
and
my
lips.
God. So she was like faceless. So
she had Barbie with no face. And I was mortified.
Oh my God.
So
so scary.
My family, my parents didn't replace things. You ruin it, it's gone.
Right,
one, you don't get a second chance at owning something, you know? Yeah. Like, that wasn't a thing for us. It was, you know, I remember I got my Barbies at Spags, you know? Like, oh, we went to Spags. And I would pick up, like, one Barbie every, like, year or 6 months or so. So I didn't have that many, but I had enough to, you know, I had my Kens. I had, like, two Kens and all these, you know, maybe, like, 10 or 15 Barbies, and that was my shit. And I fucking ruined the face of one of them, and I was so fucking pissed
face
at my
off,
sister for
face
telling
off
me
Barbie.
To use that. Yeah. Oh, I was so mad. I was, and then I tried to draw it on, and I'm no artist, so that looked like weirdo
God.
Barbie,
Joker Barbie.
Yeah. It was, yeah, yeah, it was really not cute at all.
Oh
so
my God.
That meant a lot to me when I was little. So this movie meant a lot to me. Theater, just with like the hugest smile on my face, and hearing the women around me being like, yeah. Or like the moments of like oh they really went there, like it was really fun. I feel like appreciative of that representation. It was just so, like I said, like heavy-handed that you couldn't walk away not understanding the point, unless you are truly like a, you know,
right,
like if you're a douche, you walked away confused, but otherwise you knew what was going on.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah, like the table full of like executives and they're all men. Like, I thought that was, like, and like
running a little girl's
right. Day. The majority of Mattel's, like, leadership makeup. I mean, come on. It's this, like, majority of most company makeup. Like, so it's funny, like, you're talking about, like, queer folks and, like, theater. And, like, I've always, like theater is such a magnet for queer kids. And, like, I've always wondered, you know, what that's about. Because it's a two-pronged thing. Like, it makes, really exposes you, right? But, like, and if you're closeted, like, that's a scary scenario. But at the same time, you end up with, like, group affiliation, which a lot, like, queer kids might not necessarily have, right? Like a group of people they can be themselves and be comfortable. I think I answered my own question. But that was like, you know, that kind of like sweet, you know, spot of like, you know, the imagination that you have and having to live, you know, kind of a secret coded life for a hot minute. These are the things that I really do hope change with time and change with like our society. I know it's like a weird fucked up moment in time. If there's not one fight going, there's another. But you know, I do, when I've been thinking about these podcasts and everything that we talk about, it's we don't spend a lot of time saying, you know, we gotta fight against homophobia and all of these other things, because like, you know, I've spent many years like in my youth having to do that. And now I'm kind of like, I want that respect. I want it to be a non-fucking issue. And like, I'm going to behave as such, you know, on some level. And, you know, and, but there's, you know, the bubble as you get older that you're able to pad yourself with as well, that says like, you know, I'm not necessarily exposing myself to like high risk situations of like stress, like oppression. Right? Because, like, you know, I know who I know and I know who I know. And I still, like, you know, think about, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, do you come out in class or do you come out in, like, work? And, you know, obviously for many years in New York City, it was, like, never even a question. It's not since I've come out here to the Southwest that whole thing has come up again. You know, like,
right.
Or the strategic decision not to come out because right. it could put you in a fucked up position, you know? And I think, you know, it's kind of been humbling, you know, in my fucking 40s to like have like other professionals here, you know, as I'm working through the school and having these discussions, like not be out of the closet, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, you know, it's something that like, I understand, and like, I'm never going to knock anybody for it. And I'm not, you know, we've had that conversation about how like important is the process or not of coming out, you know, like, you know, on one level, especially if you're young and still living with your parents or some sort of like people that are, you know, you're dependent on, it is a high risk thing, especially if you don't have like an alternative set up, you know, so. Anyways, I digress on this, but I do, I did want to like just bring it up because, you know, I'm thinking about representation all the time. And I thought Barbie, you know, was a very surreal, and as like drama folk queer kid, I was imagining what like this role must have been like. You know, there are parts that Margot Robbie, or is that her name?
I don't fucking know.
Whatever.
I think it might be Robbie. No, actually, you know what? I don't know. I always remember it wrong. So
she's like the suicide.
Margot.
She's a Suicide yeah. Squad. Right?
She's Harley.
Okay.
Harley Quinn.
So she has these moments where she pulls off like doll-like postures so well. And I was like so super impressed. So I ended up watching this with watching South Park did this like, hear me out. So they did this kind of like mini film, like a 45-minute thing called Cred. And it's this very interesting episode that they juxtapose this whole, like, all the kids getting, like, kind of, I don't even know if you would say addicted to, but, like, feeling the need that they have to have this hydration drink called Cred. And so, like, it's all about, like, putting it in your backpack so other people can see it. And of course they're playing on words, like, you know, do you have cred? You don't have no cred. You don't have no cred, right? And so the show is primarily influencers online. And then it's juxtaposed like Randy, one of the dudes, like discovering that like, you know, some teacher at the school is making tens of thousands of dollars off of OnlyFans. So Randy decides he wants to become like an OnlyFans model to supplement his income, right? So, you know, and of course this is like some weird, they do the whole like South Park like entrance in like this very porno kind of like thing, and like they show characters naked and stuff, adult characters, mind you. And like, you know, so you see like Randy with his small ass penis, and so they combine these two things together. So influencers are getting the kids to buy these energy drinks, right? And like this whole conversation goes on what it means to be an influencer, and they have like this whole thing of raffling off these influencers at a thing, and they have things like the Chinese government is bidding on the influencer to have like people push different things on their YouTubes, right? And it's like very much like whatever, until like Randy is like, well, I'm not getting any watches on my OnlyFans, and like my socials, my Instagram and my X, like I'm not getting enough followers. So he decides that he's gonna be an influencer and starts doing these fucking twisted OnlyFans videos by pouring this cred drink on his penis and hashtagging all of the stuff, right? And so, like, the whole thing from the beginning is that this cred drink has a disclaimer, not intended for kids, right? And so everything that, like, this episode is saying is, like, none of these things are intended for children, right? None of these things are. So, but all these kids are drinking cred, so Randy starts, like, being an influencer and hashtagging everything with cred. So the conversation like comes up and he gets in trouble because he's saying you're like you're targeting children with your OnlyFans by hashtagging this drink that they all drink. And like everybody says, but we all know that's not intended for children. And neither is OnlyFans. You have to be like this age to watch it. So like this, it's having this huge conversation about like the role of like influencers and marketers and bringing kids, and obviously a bunch of tongue-in-cheek stuff about Meta and whatever, knowing that there were underage users on their platform and not like, you know, and knowing that they were deliberately targeting them, right? So they're having like a huge critique about this, like, oh yeah, you know, protect the kids, but like meanwhile everything that you're doing is not to protect the kids. Everything is about
right, it's targeted marketing. At fucking children essentially.
Exactly. So like, you know, I'm that's thinking all this, I'm like, you know, and it's very interesting to see, because the conversation always comes up, obviously him and his wife get in this thing, she's like, I can make more fucking money than you at OnlyFans, you really want to fucking play this game? And so of course she totally fucking beats him out, you know, and he keeps getting on these help desk calls with OnlyFans about, he's like, why isn't anybody subscribing to my material? Like, you know, and they're like, well, try this and try that, you know, and he's like, but my wife is like, you know, beating me. And they're like, well, you know, men don't tend to make as much money on this platform. And like, they're just having this whole huge conversation about OnlyFans in general. And so that made me think, how was your weekend? Or your week, actually. Oh, yeah.
What an interesting transition. And I am happy that you went that way. That was entertaining.
I knew I would like, get there.
I like that they like somewhat misrepresented how like OnlyFans works.
Right.
Because like you can't stumble on somebody's OnlyFans account. You have to know the creator and have their link. Like there's no search bar. There's no hashtags. Like I can't hashtag my content, you know, MILF, and then people find it by that. Now on other sites you can, but not on OnlyFans. OnlyFans is one of those really obnoxious sites that like doesn't matter how much you put out, there's no advertising for you unless you're one of their chosen few who basically doesn't do content. They just have, you know, bikini girls showing off like their what they cooked this week, you know, weird shit like that. They'll like advertise those people.
Right.
But it's super like they curate it themselves. You can
so tell. You can use like your socials, right? To like draw people to your
but social media. As soon as you say things like OnlyFans or like, for example, on TikTok, you can't say OnlyFans. On Instagram, if you were to say OnlyFans, you can usually get nabbed for soliciting. But you're also, they have been more lenient with like you alluding to it and you like linking to it in like, say, a story. But it's one of those things where like, it's also so the rules are such gray area that you could easily just get like for nothing. It's so stupid. But so like, yeah, you can advertise on your socials, but it also still has to be, you have to use words like, you know, that link or, you know, you guys know where to find it, you know, stupid shit like that. Or like more photos from this, you know, photo shoot, you know where to go. you can't even say link in bio. Like you're still literally not see any traction as soon as you use like spicy language in a sense. It's so frustrating. So it's like really not, it's not that easy to market yourselves. It's the one thing that people, I think, have a hard time wrapping their head around. They're like, well, I can just make the content and people will find me through it. Maybe one or two people might find you. You actually have to like have a following or find a way to, you know, make a secondary, you know, covert operation kind of page or whatever that isn't necessarily linked to your name, but you know, you still have to build yourself up online. So it's very frustrating that there's this assumption that you can just use words like feet and people will find your feet. Like that's not a thing. there's no, you can have like a free OnlyFans, which essentially previews what you do offer for sale, but that's still you have to find your OnlyFans. It's not an easy marketing thing. It's not simple. It is like, for example, one of my most successful friends with OnlyFans is constantly being like dinged and nabbed for just simple stuff of like shaking her booty in the camera, but meanwhile like that's the only way to market yourself. It's so crazy. So
when I've noticed like the influx of like dudes like shaking their like dick line in their shorts.
Yeah.
Like, it's gotten kind of like crazy. Like,
yeah, that's a big one. There's a lot of people that will not be advertising technically their OnlyFans, but they absolutely are. Like, there's this one guy that has a squirrel. The squirrel is...
Oh, yes. I've seen this motherfucker. Yep.
And the squirrel's always jumping on his butt and always jumping on his body, and the dude never wears underwear, and you can see his dick line in his gray sweatpants. And it's a great marketing tool, but I think it's kind of slimy to use your animals to market your body. I could easily put my hamsters on my heaving bosom and hashtag it Syrian hamster, and hopefully this hamster community finds my fucking pussy attractive. But like, what? I think it's the same as like,
it's a little squirrely.
It's fucking weird. Yeah. I don't know. I think you should always separate your accounts if you are going to say you have children, or you're, you know, an aunt and you show off the kids you babysit. Yeah. If you also sell spicy content, maybe we should separate the two. I don't think it's appropriate to have any kind of online connection to things.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, like, especially if you're doing this kind of like quote unquote covert advertisement, like you want to like be like capturing the people that the content is appropriate for. Like, you don't want, like, it's not good the advertising business to have a bunch of people shit talking you because you misled them to your fucking pussy, you know?
That's true. Yeah. There's a lot of it that, like, now I don't separate my Instagram, for example, because I don't have enough of a following on there for me to consider myself like just advertising myself. I'm not. I am like my TikTok. I have multiple accounts because one, I am truly just advertising my body. But like, I have a separate TikTok for my hamsters, for example. My Instagram is sort of a smash, but again, I'm not combining my sexual posts with my animal posts. Sure. I think it's weird, and I think that you're attracting the wrong fan base, and it's I like the things to be separate, personally. That's me. I've heard the same from a lot of other people. Like, for example, on Twitter, if you have a Twitter and you're posting like pictures of your family and stuff, maybe that shouldn't be on your spicy account. Yeah. Like, maybe that should be on a separate one. Or again, I don't know, but I know that like,
well,
the friends I'm posting on my Instagram, for example, they're giving me consent to essentially have potential creeps follow them online, you know. Sure. Like, that's I wouldn't ever put people in like a position where they feel like they're now kind of intertwined in like the sex industry when they're not a part of it, you know?
Right. No, that's actually a good point, because, you know, and it is like, you know, you follow one or two like cam models on Twitter or whatever the fuck it's called these days, and like, you're kind of doomed for like 5 requests a day at least from others.
Oh,
honestly, like, I have like all, I like looking at the number of followers, and like, it's only grown exponentially because, like, you know, OnlyFans models want to like follow me. Like, and that's cool. I don't care, you know? I'm guessing after a while, if I don't turn into a customer, but you know, they'll lose interest. But you know, it's hard.
I never thought to just like seek out fans to follow. This is actually a good marketing tactic that I never really thought of myself, because I mostly save the space for either you know, fans that have been fans for a while that I maybe know, or other sex workers. So I never thought to like seek people out and just click follow. But
I mean, on one level, like,
see how it works.
X is great for like following porn, and like, you know, you'll follow one, and then you'll see who they're following or who's following them, and you're like, oh, that looks like some more interesting people.
Right.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, what's funny is a lot of people said for 2024, like, let's stop posting our free shit on X. And I am abiding by that. I stopped putting like actual video previews for most of my stuff. It's all like just a photo or the description. I just give away too much for free. Well, and after 8 years, this is ridiculous and I'm not living in luxury.
Yeah. Like, and I've noticed a lot of the new people are also being kind of restrictive with that. Like, it's much more of a tease, which honestly I think is the better approach in general. Like, not just for protecting your content, but like, you know, as a viewer, like, don't give away the, like, all of it, because then I'm not incentivized to, like,
the problem with it is I feel like the more you keep locked behind, the more likely you are to have your content leaked, because there are people out there that are like, I want to see her nipples, but I'm not going to pay for it. Oh, somebody leaked this content. And so somebody leaks it. So it's like, I do like to have a little bit out there so that you do not need to leak my stuff. You can see my pussy online and no problem. But at the same time, you're not going to get a really good 30-second preview anymore, where you could essentially jack off to the entire preview and be done with it. I don't want that anymore.
I still don't know what motivates the whole, like
entitlement. People are feeling, the same we talked about the other day, people are feeling entitled to free things.
Yeah.
And if you tell people that they are not allowed to have those things for free, they have a vendetta against you and they want to try their hardest to ruin your job. And
that's horrible.
I think it's horrible because, you know, as much as
what if I come to your job and tell them how many of your, like, days spent looking at my porn, you fucker?
I feel like the culture has changed quite a bit. More people pay for porn than ever before, but there are still so many people. Like, do you know how many times people have talked to me in a friend capacity and said, you know, I would look at your stuff, but I've never paid for porn before. Oh, and then I immediately to ask them, do you think that that's a brag? And then I ask them what they do for a living, and I instantly try to change it on them. And I say, oh, you know, I would come at a coffee. I've never paid coffee before. Or whatever it is. Yeah. It's just like, this is something that can be phased out with AI. No problem. And I hope you're replaced at your job someday, you fucking cunt. Hilarious. You know? So it's one of those things where it's a stupid brag. And I think people are ashamed to say that they pay for their porn. I'm sorry, but everybody should be paid for what they produce. Doesn't matter. It's entertainment. It's being used by people that have a certain need that they use it for, and or they want to use it for. And the fact that you're saying that you're unwilling to pay for entertainment, you're a cunt. And you're just a cunt.
Fucking
and
work.
You're an piece of shit.
It's work.
And also, but the other thing is, like, you clearly don't. You down on women. As soon as somebody says that to me, I'm like, you do not value women. You are not a friend of mine anymore. Sure. And I will, you know, like, it's just like, I can't imagine going to somebody who does something for a living, takes pride in that thing, and then saying, you know, there's a free way of getting that thing. I don't pay for that thing.
Good Lord.
What? That's just such a fucking strange, you know, like, way to devalue that person's job, that person's existence. It's just gross. It's gross behavior. But you did ask me how my week was. So I had one of my lovely customers that's also a friend. He knew that I have had a lot less of a chance to film in the last couple months. There's just no privacy in my apartment right now, so there's no ability to, like, bang out some customs or do anything like that. So he personally wanted some content, but also wanted to, like, treat me to the ability to work, because he knows that it's been detrimental to my pocket for 3 months.
Wow.
And he sent it to me essentially for my birthday, but I put the money aside specifically for January so that I could film at a hotel. Nice. And I got, which is a great deal. Basically, if you pay for my hotel for however many nights, you get to do a live chat with me, like a video chat, once every single day I'm there. You get as many customs as you want and whatever other fucking content, and you get every piece of content that I create while there that isn't custom. So, like, I have a folder of 1,200 pieces of media going to receive.
Oh, wow.
It's gonna be jacking off to me forever, you know.
That's beautiful.
And we did our lives together. So anyways, but he took care of it. Basically, he gave me an amount of money and I found the cheapest hotel that I could get. It wasn't a Roach Motel, you know. And I was just there for 2.5 days, and I counted well over 500 orgasms during that. So I never want to come again. And
Talk satiated.
One of the things I did or I offer is like I'll go live and I'll do an offer of like $5 for every orgasm on command. You know, you tip $5 and so some people, some of my customers will be like, oh, well, I want three in a row. So they'll give like 15, right? Or then somebody else will be like, oh, well, two more. So it becomes like kind of a competition to see how many times I fucking can.
Oh my God.
So my last live I did, it was 45 minutes and I think I got tipped for, I can't remember. It was at least like, I think it was like 22 orgasms in 45 minutes or something like that. Oh. But no. It had to have been more than that, right? Yeah, I don't know. Something like that. But either way, it was just, it was so funny because everybody was like, as soon as I was done with like, you know, they would count for me on the screen. And as soon as I was done with them, they'd be like, good girl, here's five more. And I'm like, ah. So, you know, it's fun. I don't have a problem with that because I can go over and over and over without issue. But it just like by that day, I had already done it three times, like done one of these lives three times. And I was just like, I was worn out. And they were like, you need a hydrate. You need a, and one of them ended up sending me money so I could order food. Cause I had been living on like fucking cup of noodles because I didn't have like a microwave in my room. So I was just like, I'll just live on, you know, coffee maker cup of noodles. So I ended up getting myself some tonight, but
beautiful.
It was, yeah, I created a lot of content in that 2.5 days just because I'm like, I don't know when the next time I can film is going to be, you know, who the fuck knows when it's going to be. So I need to just like stock up on, mind you, I have so much content in my phone that I've never released. There's so much there. But the problem is the way that I run my stuff now, which trust me, I need to absolutely change how I run my stuff. But ever since OnlyFans shut me down last year and I had to rebuild fan base, essentially, I run things where I release something free every day. So there's this expectation of you can pay a very small amount to see a very large amount of content. Right. And I'm not making anything beyond that subscription fee, which is fucking pennies. Right. So what's happening is I have all this content I'm sitting on because I'm like, it's not going to make me any money because I'm not putting it behind a paywall. Right. Well, for 2024, that's changing. I do have to change up my shit a little bit. All my prices are going up and also how much I put is going up. Nice. So I'm going to continue releasing like clips and teasers and photos and maybe like once a week, a full length. But for the most part, I'm going to have to put a lot of my newer full lengths behind a paywall and have people buy them.
Let me ask you something. When you're looking to subscribe to like one of these things, like, can you see how much content is behind the paywall? You can.
Yeah. Okay. So like right now, let me,
I've never done a subscription to one of these things yet. How fucking funny is that?
That is funny. Let me see like what my page looks like.
Like, I think I did it once and then I forgot like look in 30 days and like it expired.
Right. That does happen a lot. Like I like to look at my stats and see like who's actually looking at my content. And I think I put out so much that some people get a little bit overwhelmed and they don't actually like see all of the different stuff I have to offer. So basically what I'm doing right now is like my loyal fans, which is another website that I work on, they are cool with more taboo stuff like mommy and like related shit. And they have like, basically they review your stuff before you post it, which I really appreciate. You don't get like accidentally in trouble afterwards, like on OnlyFans, how you can release something and 2 months later, it's like flagged for fucking content.
How long do you usually have to wait before they post? Like from review, like how long is that process?
Oh, like 3 minutes. It's very quick.
Okay.
It's very quick. So and they're trying to build their site. And so I have some boy girl content and girl girl content on there now. And I'm trying to kind of move people over. Now, I don't have a ton of subscribers there, but it is a little bit. I charge 10 a month for that one, but that's because I have more there.
Okay.
But on my OnlyFans, so essentially everything that I put on my OnlyFans, I can put on my loyal fans.
Okay.
But everything I put on my loyal fans, I cannot put on my OnlyFans. And then I have my ManyVids club, which has literally every piece of content I've ever put out, ever. Okay. All boy, girl, all girl, all that stuff. And that is like $30 a month, but it's fucking worth it. It's very, very much worth it because you can see everything I do and everything I'll ever do. Mm. And
nice.
you know, it's just, it's like an archive of all, it's an archive of my pussy. But yeah, so like if you go to my link right now, there are 600, now mind you, this was since what, April, I think I restarted this page, or end of March, April.
Okay.
I have 650 photos, 233 videos, 75 streams, and yeah.
Oh, you can save the streams?
Yeah, so I save my streams, and anybody that tipped gets a copy of it. Okay. I didn't tip, buy it later on. So I'll sell it for between like $5 and $10, or I'll do like a bundle. Like I released a bundle, the three streams from this week, for like $12 or whatever. Okay. And for me, you know, in my opinion, these stream bundles are worth it because it's like, well, one video, you're going to see a couple orgasms, whereas one of these streams, you're probably going to see like 50. So you may as well just get the fucking streams. But yeah, so I'm not going to announce to anybody how I'm going to change things, because I'm still going to put out free content every day, but I'm not going to put out a full length every single day like I was doing. I'm basically doing that as a way to try to, you know, get people to come over and stay subscribed, but it's not working. Yeah. So it's like, people will buy the things behind paywalls if they want those things, you know, like my BBW content is very expensive because I don't want you to buy it. I literally am mortified to even release it. So it's, in a weird way, it's like, this is actually me in survival mode, honestly, and I can't afford my life, and I need y'all to be a serious, if you are serious about wanting to see my fucking stretch marks and apron sagging belly and me looking like a fucking going moo, then you will pay the money for it. Where right. But if you don't want to see that, then you don't get to see it, period.
What the fuck is an apron sagging belly?
So an apron belly is when your lower belly like hangs kind of over your fupa. And a lot of people that have kids have an apron belly. I've always had one. It's just the shape of my body. I had an apron belly at like age 12, you know, like I've never not had an apron belly. Okay. And I've been showing it online. Like I have photos, like if you go to my Instagram right now, I literally just released a little video where you can see my full apron belly, like in all its glory. But like the naked version of that, you don't get to see unless you pay $50, $75. Depends on what I feel like charging.
Okay.
But people buy it because it's like they understand that I am so fucking insecure that the idea is if you pay enough for it, you're not going to leak it. And the one piece of content that I do not want ever leaked in my entire life is that.
Yeah.
So you can see it. I don't mind showing, like I just took a shower video of me at the full, like the showers at this full glass, like 360 full glass. And I have a video in a shower. Gotcha. You can see me lifting up my belly and cleaning it and all that, but you're gonna have to pay $70 to see it.
Okay.
Period. Because again, like I don't want to make it, but I also know people do want to see it. So if you're willing to pay to see the thing I don't want you to see, then you can pay for it. You can do it. That's fine.
There's a strategy. So like, I mean, this all goes to say, like, you know, it's a lot of work to do this, you know, and not to like be a cautionary tale, but I think like I've always appreciated your honesty discussing this, because you do see a lot of people, and I see a lot of people start up, and honestly, even when I first moved here to Albuquerque, there were a lot of boys on like Grindr who had like connected their Twitter account and like all had OnlyFans accounts, and like you see it go nowhere because they're just, I don't know what they think, but like, you know, just getting people to follow you and then like just showing your previews with like no engagement. Like, you know, I see like people with like 90 followers and then their OnlyFans doesn't have that many subscribers. So like, it's a hustle. It's definitely a hustle. Yeah. And you have been like,
I just lost, I think,
time.
Like 30 subscribers on the Renew.
Really?
You know? Yeah. And that it's not because of the content I'm putting out. It's because either they need a cut down, like you know, I just canceled my fucking Showtime subscription. It's the same shit. If you're not using it, or if you're broke this month, or if you know you can come back to it, I get it. I understand why there are people that cannot afford to continuously pay $9 a month to see content that they might not be using that much.
Sure.
But I will say that my core number, meaning I've never dropped below it, is there and it won't change. And those people will be there for a while. And that is a sustainable amount, but it's not what it needs to be.
Right.
So, you know, I struggle and I realize that this is not going to be, unless some weird thing happens where all of a sudden I'm viral.
Right.
Because I'll say this, the 1 month that I made enough on OnlyFans to feel like I was one of them fucking girlies was my first month. It was the first month I opened an OnlyFans. People were finally, you know, people are creatures of habit. So they were waiting for me to go onto the platform that they enjoy. And I had 500 subscribers in my first month.
Wow.
That was a lot of fucking, and I only charged, I think, for the first, I think I charged $5 and then for the first however many, and then for this next swath was like seven, but I don't remember. But I made enough to put at least a quarter of my retainer down on my lawsuit, which is why I opened it to begin with, remember? Nice. And that was, I remember I opened the OnlyFans at your house in Queens. and I remember like updating you and your husband along the way about like how many, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting so many subscribers.
Yeah.
It was the only time I've ever had that many subscribers. And it's probably the only time I ever will.
Yeah.
It was like a moment that I wish I could capture again. But if I had any, even if I had half of what I had at that moment, like, and unfortunately, my numbers were really, really good. OnlyFans nuked me.
Yeah,
very, very good. Like, I was finally on my way to making sustainable wages.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be in a new tax bracket, blah, blah, blah. And then 3 weeks later, they nuked me. And it hasn't been the same ever since. It just truly hasn't. And I also don't make boy-girl content anymore. So that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Sorry.
So, you know, there's a lot of layers to this. And if you're not, like, I shouldn't have to get fucked on camera for you to enjoy my content. My content's fantastic. I do tons of role-playing. You can close your eyes and imagine yourself in the scenario. So I truly don't think you need to do boy girl, you need to do partnered content ever.
Sure.
I don't think you need to, but I do understand that that's a big piece of why I'm not making the money I was making.
Sure.
So it's tough and it's hard and it's not an easy job. And you know, as soon as I have an out, I'm out. That's it. That's just the way. Will I always do it as a side hustle as long as I can?
Well,
sure.
So you've heard that, folks. Like, get your subscriptions in now. Mama might not be on for too long.
Get your subscriptions in now before I have to change jobs. That's the point.
Exactly. Like,
my thing is, if you want your content creator to remain a creator, tip the bitch.
There you go.
You really think I'm making a lot of money off of a fucking sale for $4.50 where I'm taking home $3.80 of it? You think I'm making a lot? I'm not. So, like, remember these things when, you know, you have the extra $10 that you can tip that person.
Absolutely.
Do that. If you want to keep them around in the industry.
Absolutely.
If you don't care, then fine. I don't care either. But my point is, you know, if I want a restaurant to stay open, like a little local joint,
you gotta go to that shit.
You buy from them, you tip them,
right.
You spend your money where you want those things to thrive. And so for people just having this weird expectation of, well, she probably makes enough. No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. And to the point where now, like, I probably have to move on and this can only be a side thing that I do, if anything. So I do think that, and I'm speaking on behalf of many workers right now.
Yeah,
you know, I know people that have like 100,000 followers online and it does not convert.
Yeah.
The number of subscribers they have does not convert over.
Yeah.
So like, don't just, and mind you, mine are pathetic. I have 13,000 on Twitter. I have 10,000 on Instagram and 30,000 on TikTok. Those numbers are shit. They're absolute shit. So for you to look at my shit, like my numbers, and be like, oh, she's probably making enough, you are out of your mind.
Yeah.
You are out of your mind because I don't even have 10% of those people to subscribe.
And like we've always said, like, it's also time. When you think about how much time gets put in, not just creating the content, but editing the content, uploading the content, advertising the content, like, this does not have like a huge like profit. So you make it more profitable by patronizing the page and like visiting and subscribing and like, you know, and I will tell you this, Miss Felicia Rose makes it rain to her friends and the people she cares about and those hammies. So the money is well spent.
Yeah, I was looking at my GoFundMe the other day and I was like, I wouldn't even make it. I'm being hyperbolic, but you know what I mean?
No,
I'm just like, Jesus
for sure.
fucking Christ.
For
like,
sure, you spread the wealth for sure. So.
Just, you know, I personally would love to see this job. I would love to see it through until I am really truly as successful as I think I deserve to be.
Fuck yeah.
But I also understand that like that's not fair to me.
Yeah.
That's not, you know,
absolutely.
My friend reached out to me recently and she was like, I feel so fucking degraded. She's like, I am doing this thing on camera for like $5 tips and I'm feeling like a fucking piece of shit. She was like on a live or something where she wasn't making a lot of money or whatever it was. I'm like, yeah, that's a thing. And I don't think people really realize that sometimes. Oh, I have to do this thing, but what did she just do for $5?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem worth it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, people just have this weird assumption like, oh, sex workers are just these horny fucking sluts and just be on camera getting fucked all the time. And it's like, you are out of your fucking, you're off your rocker. Like, you're out of your mind if you think that this is, you know, that there aren't aspects of this that we dislike. Of course there are. Of course, yes, having an orgasm is a very nice thing, but having an orgasm on command when you need to film something, when you're like mourning the death of somebody, but this is your job. Remember, there's it's very degrading. It's like the same. I think of it like this. I remember one day that I had a very serious thing happening in my personal life, and I was doing the whole like customer service taking calls thing.
Right.
I'm sitting there taking a call from a woman who's yelling at me about pencils, and I have tears in my eyes about the thing going on in my personal life. And nothing felt more degrading in that moment than being yelled at about pencils when I have a serious life emergency going on at home. It's the same shit.
Yeah.
It's the same shit. It's just a different flavor of customer service. So keep that in mind. We're fucking people. We work way, way, way more than you would ever imagine. The few people that don't need to work that much are the ones that have millions of followers or 200,000 or 500,000 subscribers. You know, those are the people that you're assuming in your head. Even those people might need the fucking tip, you know, either way, stop assuming that just because like you see the top 10% of creators out there who are doing really well, the rest of us are fucking struggling. And especially in times like January, the slowdown of the season post Christmas, everybody's numbers are shit right now. And if you could just maybe reopen that one subscription to that one provider that you think is amazing, do it. Just fucking do it.
Beautiful.
That's all. That's all I have to say about
tip your server.
Tip the people you want to see. If you like a service and you want that service more than once, tip them. Keep them. They might be one tip away from staying or leaving.
There you go.
That's the truth of the matter.
Fuck
whether
that.
It's the girl at Hooters serving your wings, or it's the girl behind the screen, you know, coming and saying your name, whatever it is, keep in mind, it doesn't hurt to pay the service and then some. It doesn't hurt. And if you cannot afford the service, you don't get to partake in it. I'm sorry. I do not go out to eat if I cannot afford to eat. I do not enjoy the things that require me to show up with money if I can't afford it. Guess what? It's a cup of noodle night, bitch. Right?
Right. Cup of noodle night. There
and
you
I'm
go.
Not a real porn star either. I'm a fucking Easy Mac.
I thought you were going to say something like filet mignon, but no, she downgraded it to Easy Mac. Okay.
I mean, I love both equally, and I eat both all the time. I just had one for lunch, so
I love you.
It's fine.
There you have it, folks.
All right, are we done? Am I wrapping this up?
I think so.
I talk a lot when we talk about my job, so
I love it.
All right, everybody, for tuning into the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love, you can watch my porn at onlyfans.com/FeliciaRoseNew or loyalfans.com/FeliciaRose or ManyVids. No, sorry, Felicia-Rose.ManyVids.com. You can see Aaron's butthole by messaging him, and maybe he'll show it to you, but you have to tip him too.
Oh, that was beautiful. I love you.
Bye.